Good afternoon. Today is Friday, February the 28th, 59th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, simple country therapist who's a little damp on the edges, Lou Quimby.
I am a little damp on the edges. It's damp out there.
What'd you do to your thumb? You got one of those fancy doodle band-aids.
Four-legged butterfly thing around.
Yeah. That normally implies
blood.
Creativity.
Oh, no.
No, nothing creative.
Staunch the flow.
Oh, okay, fine.
Okay.
It's boring.
It is.
This afternoon, we'll spend a little bit of time talking about boundaries, borders, and accountability.
We will?
Well, at least that's...
That's what
depending
you want.
On the quote, that's I'll the... weave it over there. How's that?
Of course you will.
All right, we'll do it when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 313. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. But before we do, our starting point of this show, sir.
I want to see how you can wrap boundaries around this.
Okay, will do.
This is by Ray Kroc, who's the founder of McDonald's.
McDonald's. Who had systems and boundaries.
Oh, he already wrapped. Ray said, the quality of leaders is reflected in the standards they set for themselves.
Personal accountability.
Yes.
Wow. See, I did it on both of them.
Boundaries. Well, you're way ahead of me. You're so good at this.
Yeah,
I should have known better.
Because you're doing pinwheels over there.
I should have known better. That's what I get when I doodle, right?
Oh, apparently.
Apparently.
Or at least this week. How's that?
Yes.
All right.
So boundaries separate. That's what boundaries do. They separate.
But they also provide standards.
Well.
True.
When you set up a boundary, you may set up a boundary about physical stuff or emotional stuff, intellectual stuff, social stuff, or spiritual stuff. So boundaries are individually set. If they get codified, then they turn into an institutional...
That would be cultural?
Of some sort.
Within the family or the individual?
It's
like
the declaration, the three primary... Well, I got five... primary boundaries I talk to people about.
You notice that, everybody, we just expanded it from three to five in an instant, flash.
No, five sets of boundaries, sorry. Three are mentioned in the Constitution.
Oh.
Person, property, papers. And then there's time and space. Just a handful of boundaries to pay attention to. And if you get those down, the rest of them are easy. But person, property, papers, so you can set individual...
I don't see dignity in there anywhere.
Neither do I.
Okay.
You got a point here, I'm sure. I'll just wait for it.
No. It'll evolve as the show goes on.
We're talking about boundaries there, not bottom lines.
Okay.
Dignity's in Mona, bottom lines. Okay, now.
You want me to start the engine again for you?
No. I got my foot on the gas.
Okay, let her rip.
Boundaries about person. Now, you may touch me here and you may touch me there, or you may not touch me at all, or if you look at social boundaries, then people shake hands when they meet each other, and some people don't do that. We were on a cruise once where the captain didn't shake hands because there was so much
flu stuff
going around, but he would shake elbows.
So he had good spirit also.
So, and of course, his handler gave us all that, the lady that stands 20 feet to the right and says, now, but the captain doesn't shake hands, so you can shake his elbow. And she showed us how to shake his elbow.
It was a smile and a twinkle?
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre.
Okay.
But it's just a new standard about health and safety on a ship, because there's so much stuff going around on board. Flu and...
Probably better than a nose rub.
Well, you scratch your nose, then you shake the captain's hands. How many times has that happened to him?
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So boundaries change, rules change. But if you're a leader, you lead by example. So that kills do as I say, not as I do. Do as I say, not as I do is hypocritical.
Is that the breakdown that a lot of folks who are parents will run into?
Hypocrisy?
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of parents run into that.
Or the kids, depending on, I guess, your perspective.
And they say, do as I say, not as I do. And they teach the kids to be honest and forthright. And then they watch dad struggling over his taxes, how to cheat on his taxes. And then what kind of sense does a kid make out of that?
Well,
he talks about, they're talking about honesty at school and homework and blah, blah, blah. And then dad at the dinner table talks proudly how he cheated a guy out of a contract. What kind of sense is the kid supposed to make out of that one?
How about the spouse or the individual themselves?
What about?
Wouldn't the light bulb go on over their head going,
Oh no.
Hey.
No. What am I teaching my kids? No. No, you'd be surprised.
Well, what am I doing? Yeah.
Well, I'm just making a nickel here for my family.
Really?
Oh, you'd be surprised how...
So situational boundaries?
Situational ethics. You'd be surprised how easy it is to justify ripping off your neighbor or your business partners or consumers or whatever, customers. Oh, yeah, you bet. It's not hard to do at all.
Huh.
What yours is mine. What's mine is mine alone. We share that way. you understand?
Ever seen that as a mission statement?
That's the problem. It's not disclosed. A lot of marriages get into trouble that way. What's yours is mine. What's mine is mine alone. And it's not disclosed until the big D.
The courtroom setting.
Until the courtroom says, oh, well, in California, we do this 50-50. Your Honor, that's not fair. Sir, the court will determine what's fair. Yes. The court and the law. And then the man says, the law is an ass. And the judge says, that's contempt of court.
Yeah.
And then the guy gets in more trouble.
Yeah.
So
that downward spiral.
That kind of stuff catches up with people sooner or later. Now, if it never catches up with them in court, well, they get to live with it.
Or it does on Main Street.
I had a guy when I was new in practice 40 years ago or something. 45 years ago.
Well, while you're remembering.
Oh, Lord.
We'll take a break.
Oh.
Your timing is off.
Oh, sorry about that.
So we'll work on that during the break. KINS, News and Information Times 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times 324. And we're back to Talk Shop. Second half of the story from Mr. Quimby.
Well, I was...
Now, hopefully your timing will be a little bit better in this segment. It won't take longer than 6 minutes.
I always trust you to fix the timing.
Yeah, well, we did our best. You forgot the story, didn't you?
No. Oh, no, it's seminal.
Okay.
I opened up the Humboldt Family Service Center. I was the first one hired there. And in the first 6 months, a guy called up about 5 minutes to five and said, I got to see you. So I said, okay, come on in. And he came in, and I was doing my intake sheet. I said, we have a sliding scale. What's your income? Don't worry about it. I'll pay a full fee. And then I said, okay, what's up? Well, I got home today. Went home for lunch. There was a note on the table. My wife said, I'm leaving. I'm taking half the checking, half the savings. Goodbye. My lawyer will talk to your lawyer. And I said, I have no idea what the heck's going on here. I gave her everything. That house and the car. Well, what had happened?
Little indignation there?
Oh, a lot.
Okay.
He had no idea that he was the tyrant, and what he said goes, and people don't question him, and blah, blah, blah. So she was a passive little thing, and she just kept her head down. And when the last kid graduated from college the day before, Thursday graduation, her job was done. She had been the dutiful mother and the dutiful wife, and it was over. So she had been planning this for, who knows, anywhere from 5 to 10 years. So she had everything set. She had her go bag ready and the clothes she wanted and whatever trazer she wanted, she had them with her. And then she already had a lawyer, of course. And you pay them the first hour and you lock them up. So she had the bulldog, and the bulldog chatted with him. But he had no idea what the price was for lack of discussion, no level playing field. He didn't respect her boundaries. She didn't respect her boundaries. The first one is talking. What's happening? What do you need? What do you want? Is there a problem here? Do I need to change something? Do you need to change something? How do we accommodate each other? No, zip, nada. So all of a sudden, after, I don't know, 30 years of experiencing life as being great.
Wedded bliss,
was,
right?
He was A-L-O-N-E, yeah, after years of compliant wedded bliss. And compliant wedded bliss is my idea of a disaster. If you always get everything you want without question, there will be a reckoning.
Both ways, I would presume.
That's correct.
One with a tidal wave and one with a
water.
A little tweezer.
Well, yeah, right. Yeah.
So how does that start? How does that relationship start? Whether it's a business or
a
personal one. I mean, there's still got to be an initial attraction somewhere. Unless, you know, there's
initial attraction is easy.
Purchase bride.
People fall in love and they have sex and things are wonderful. And it's all child wonderment. And then there's children. And then there's making a living. And then he does what he's scripted for, make a living, bring home the bacon. And she does what she's scripted for, cooks the bacon, doesn't make waves, shut up, don't make trouble, take care of the kids, keep the kids quiet, daddy's home, don't bother daddy. Blah, 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 blah. A typical banal male and female scripting in this culture.
So two running parallel.
Yeah.
And never crossing.
And they find each other, and then they act out their scripted jobs. So after the honeymoon's over, which is generally pretty nice, after the honeymoon's over is when it hits the fan. And so, it usually hits the fan kind of quietly, unless they're scripted for battling Bickerson stuff.
I thought you were going to say unless they were Italian.
Or Greek or French,
yeah,
or German,
et cetera,
or
yeah,
Dutch,
okay.
Denmark.
Good. Glad to include everybody there.
Oh, yeah.
So where is the accountability from both parties in that?
Well, the accountability for both parties depends on a number of things. If you're Muslim, then accountability is dictated by the Quran and by the culture. If you're a Christian, frequently it's dictated by the culture and the religion. If you're not religious, then it's dictated by what you're raised with and what you think you're entitled to. And people often
don't, and components of all of those,
yeah, yeah,
you know, depending on where you're from. Yeah.
But people don't often talk about what they think they're entitled to and where it comes from. But there are some cultures that are pretty rigid. And if they have rigid sex role determinations, what women do, what men do, then sometimes you find women dressed in burqas hidden. And if you interview them, oftentimes you will find that they're okay with that. because that's the way they were raised.
Expectations.
Yeah.
Being met.
You're right. Okay. And so the round-eyed white men get all outraged about that until they start talking to the women themselves. And then how far does that talking go? Who do you talk to? Do you talk to the men alone, the women alone? Do you talk to the men and women together? What do the women say in front of a man? What do the women say in front of a woman?
So, I think you would need all of that.
Well, there you go. So interviewing people in therapy is an art as much as a skill about what to say, how to talk, what to look for. So when people get a sense of entitlement about what they feel they have a right to, if it goes all the way as we have a right to be the policeman of the world, now we start telling other cultures how they could, should, would, think, feel, believe, act, and we get ourselves into serious doo-doo.
It's 3:30.
A decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The decade of difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Mr. Quimby.
So, if you get into telling people what they could, should, would do, then you have a great big doo-doo storm in your face. So that's why it's important to understand what you're getting into first. Well, when you and I got married, did we know enough and do enough to know what we were getting into? No.
Nobody. No, it's very rare.
Rarely.
First go around.
Yeah. It's OJT. It's on the job training. And so most of us do that. So people can learn from one relationship or they can learn from multiple relationships. No harm, no foul. And some people learn in one relationship. I used to be inordinately proud that Lucy and I had been married so long until that was prideful. And then I figured out, no, that's not a big deal. It's how do people learn? So some people learn from having multiple relationships. No harm, no foul, no judgment. And it depends on what you learn. So in Lucy and I's relationship, we went to therapy together and learned how to ask questions and learned about boundaries. Back to your message about boundaries. And
that was the quote, by the way.
Yes, what's my stuff, what's her stuff, and then what's our stuff. And that's done by agreement. So this poor guy and this gal that took off after the kids were through college, they didn't have any clarity about my stuff, your stuff, and our stuff. It was all his stuff. He made the decisions. He had. That's another problem is, well, I make the money. I'll tell you what to do with it. Oh, really? That's not the way it works.
What about the flip of that? I make the money. You can choose where we go for dinner.
Well, you can.
I'm tired. I don't care.
Oh, that's fine.
As long as we're together.
That's fine.
But
you can trade off.
Acquiescing.
Some guys,
decisions.
I don't care much about food one way or the other. And so.
But I like to have it.
Well, yeah, I know. But I mean, I don't care where I go out for dinner. Get a grip.
Your forehead is all messed up.
You want to leave me alone?
Yeah, you look like.
There's no breaks here.
Gotcha.
You did.
Okay. So food's not a big deal for you.
And for some people, it is a big deal for them. Some people are heavy into food and wine. I could care less. I don't know about wine. My brother-in-law knows lots and lots and lots and lots about wine. I'm of the, if it tastes good, I'll take it. And then, do you notice the bouquet, the hint of lemon and the fragrance of nutmeg, a little hint of asparagus? And I went, what? Give me a break. A hint of asparagus?
He enjoys
Please.
The nuances.
Yeah, he does. And I couldn't taste the nuance if you showed it to me.
Yeah, I have a tough time spelling that one, too.
So people get to know each other about what their preferences are.
But on the job training implies that you're looking, one, you recognize the need.
Right.
Two, that you have the interest, desire. And three, you're willing to do the do.
Well, willingness is much more important. You don't have to, as you well know and as I well know, I don't have to want to do everything that Lucy wants to do. I have to be willing to do some things she wants to do gracefully, graciously, and guilt-free, and participate. So
that's without the wine?
It's like...
That's
like going to the movies. So if I want to go see an action movie, and she goes, and I say, well, this is an 8 for me, and she, how about you? That's a 2. We're not going to that one together. I may go by myself alone, but we're not going to that one together. So we come up with something that both of us are interested in together, and we go to that, and we have a good time together. There's lots and lots of choices out there. And she doesn't have to like everything I do, and I certainly don't like everything she does.
Do people perceive who have problems with or challenged by boundaries and personal accountability that there is a full spectrum of choices?
No. No, if people are challenged by that, then their sense of entitlement kicks in. They could, should, would have it their way. Thank you very much. And so this poor guy that I've talked about earlier is going to be alone unless he changes his ways.
Give and take.
Give and take, you betcha. Adjust, adapt, accommodate. Those are three very key tools to making a relationship smooth.
So if you come from a rigid background, whatever that might have been formed by,
either you're going to...
How do you loosen it up?
What? How do you loosen it up?
To allow for some of these understandings of choice, and that perhaps there's another flavor other than vanilla, even though you've been told that vanilla was the only choice that you needed to know about.
Well, you can learn by experience. Bang your head up against a brick wall too many times, and you go, gee, my blood's running in my eyes. What's going on here?
Few tend to pick up that clue, right?
That's right. That one's pretty good. And sometimes people roll into the office and they're ready for a divorce, and I go, why? And she says, he doesn't listen to me. And he says, well, all I want to know is how she feels. And she says, well, I'm mad at you most of the time. No. I mean, tell me how you feel, honey. So he's selective about what he wants to hear, right? So people can learn the hard way from experience, or you can RTFM, read the frigging manual, which means pay attention to what other people say and do and tell you. So if someone comes up, a woman, with the vague statement, I'm unhappy, guys will throw a diamond at her maybe, or a new car or whatever, and they think that that's going to help. No, if you hear that vague statement, I'm unhappy, you have to use those three little words that will stop you from stepping on the landmine. Tell me more.
Not what's in it for me.
No.
If you say, that's five, you can't count either, so you're dead meat.
If you say what's in it for me, as opposed to tell me more, you're pooping where you sleep again.
KINS, News and Information Times, 343. We'll be back with more from Lou Quimby.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Lou Quimby. Lou, kind of in the last couple minutes that we've got here, if we are, we're with, or we've bred this personality called not recognizing boundaries.
And then
are there small little ways we can start
that
to...
That means it's all about them.
Yeah. Are there small little ways either we can bring somebody's attention to it, engage with safety, and start kind of chipping away so that perhaps the other person...
At their sense of entitlement?
Well, so at least maybe either the light goes on, the blood stops dripping, or we have conversation.
Well,
how do you start that process?
See, the first two things you're talking about is imply getting your agenda paid attention to, which means you're going to want to steal some of their power.
Yeah.
So that's why I like to start with, tell me more about why that's important to you. Because I want to find out about them and why they place so much importance on having to do this thing their way. So I ask that without judgment or conclusion or anger, blame, or criticism, and see if they're willing to talk about it. Now, if they're never willing to talk about that, period, I have to say to myself, why am I having any kind of serious relationship with this person?
Decisions are made.
Who is not willing to talk about ordinary, everyday stuff, like adjust, adapt, accommodate, give and take, what's yours, what's mine, what's ours, how do we divvy up the pie?
Chocolate ice cream instead of vanilla.
Physical, emotional, intellectual, social, spiritual, etc. How do we do that? And if they absolutely lock down, there may be there may be another door open. Like, why is that important to you? I don't know. Did your mother or father do that? Oh, yeah, my dad did that all the time. Oh? Are you close to your dad? Oh, yeah, I love my dad. Yeah, my dad was a great guy. Yeah, well, how was it for you when he was rigid like that? Oh, voice goes up half an octave. It was okay, I guess. And the I guess means they're probably angry about it, but they have accepted it as the way of life in their family. Do as I say, not as I do.
Would it be fair at that point to ask, how do you like your mom?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I mean, if dad's loved, doesn't mean mom isn't.
And then I'll maybe turn to the other person and say, did you marry your father? Sometimes they do. And there's also interesting, there's cross-sex marriages where women marry their mother or men marry their father for reasons of identification in childhood. So it isn't just about men marry their mother. Sometimes men marry their father, too, the primary characteristics.
Personalities.
Yeah.
Traits.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not that simple. And most often, it's a little bit of both, which is important to get the balance.
Well, then you can carry on the he said, she said conversation.
Something like that, yes.
Oh, boy. Other than your website, anywhere to go to do a little digging on this? Can you just type it into Google and kind of come up with some information?
Oh, if you have Google, you can look up all sorts of things about power in relationships, for example. Sense of entitlement in relationships. Why me, Lord?
And all the other great mysteries of the world. Hey, we solved it all in only 40 minutes. Thanks for coming by.
You bet.
We've been talking shop with Lou Quimby. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.